We were talking about I'm partnering with a company out of Denmark as for the game I'm working on. I was thinking, I was like, all right, how do I get this to market? I happened to be talking. This one guy reached out, was like, hey, can we have a meeting? We met. He's like, try this different thing. So I send 50 cold emails, one hits, gets the thing. And I think we've talked about this too, of like in entrepreneurship, there's this idea of like, oh, well, it just like kind of shit happens. It's like, no, you kind of make your own luck. Like you send 400 cold emails in the span of a year and maybe one finally hits. And then when it does, being ready to actually like capitalize on it.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Schmo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him. I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps. And I can do both, even do this, word.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine.
This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On The Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Paul Capocci, welcome to the On The Stacks podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How'd I do? Did I get it?
You nailed it.
Oh, man, I was a little nervous about that one. I've been looking at your last name for some time now, and I'm like, how do I say this?
You crushed it.
Thank you. That was it. I'm a one-hit wonder. Do not ask me to say it again. That's it. That's all anyone gets. Capocci. There.
Two for two.
So I'm sure that's been... It's been a challenge your whole life.
Yeah, it's funny. Even in high school, me and there was a kid in front of me, we had similar-ish last names, and we'd have substitute teachers. They would butcher his name so bad. By the time they got to mine, they'd be like, Paul? And just stop.
And
just,
like, yeah, and they would wait for you to say it.
And I'd just be like, yeah, I'm here. That's Do you want me. To give it another shot? And it was just always. And he always laughed because he knew it was coming.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just how it went.
Yeah, always. I mean, I've you know, with same thing with my last name. It's still a struggle. You know, it's an ongoing struggle forever. Just wherever you go, especially, you know, I used to travel a lot more. I used to be a lot more like out of town and you know stuff like that, and working in sales. And it was always it's like, whoa, how do you say it? Like, where are you? You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, like just don't worry about it.
Like, it's weird because I'm one of those people where I want to use it as a point of pride, but then I find myself on any Instagram, yes, Venmo handle, I just Paul C, and like, yes, I've just given up.
Just that's it. Yeah, you've you're like, yeah, all right, we're good. Yeah, when just forget. I don't have a last name, everybody. It's just C.
Right. When I was a professor at, I was taught at Lackawanna College for a semester, and I'd write my name on the board, and I'd write out my whole name, Mr. Capocci, and then I'd erase back to just call me Mr. C. Don't bother.
Yeah, Mr. C. Your last name is just C. Yes, it's just C.
It's just C.
C, period.
It's a mononym, like Prince.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. No last name, but hey, whatever. So, well, no, I'm glad we connected. You know, you reached out, you know, a little bit ago, and yeah, I mean, you know, some of the things that you're doing, like, I when I saw your email, I was like, wow, like somebody's actually doing that, like in this area. I'm like, wow, this is very interesting. Never, you know, never would have known. Do you know what I mean? And for sure. So I'm glad you reached out. It obviously, you know, piqued my interest. And you know, we have similar backgrounds. I'll say, you know, you've been in the podcast space as well, just the entrepreneurial stuff, etc. But the whole esports gaming thing, and you know what you've done with it, what you're doing now, it's fascinating.
I appreciate it. It's really, I never saw my life going this direction, honestly.
It always happens like that, doesn't it?
Like my bachelor's is in English. My master's is in media. I thought I was going to be a journalist.
What did you think? What did you think you were going to do?
I changed my major like 4 or 5 times. I tell people like I thought I was going to be a math teacher.
Really?
That's originally what I went for. I was like math teacher. And I was like, well, no, okay, just math. No, just English.
Why math? Like, why did you think, what was it for math? Like,
I was just
good at math.
I was just good at high school. And then, but I was only good at like easier math. Like I don't like regular math. And then I get to like calculus two and
forget
I'm done.
Yeah, me too.
I have to like prove that there's infinitely even numbers. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah,
I'll just take it for granted.
Yeah, I'm good. I know 2 plus 2. I'm okay.
But yeah, it's really what I saw myself doing, and then just life took me a couple of different directions. I got involved in, you know, coaching collegiately for esports at like Lackawanna College, which was one of our local colleges, and just building up this world of like helping colleges really develop programs, broadcast their games, do that. Then COVID happened, so I quit my full-time job in 2020. That my last day was day zero.
Really?
For quarantine.
No way.
And my boss messaged me on Slack and she's like, you know, you don't have to return your laptop today. Like, it's day zero. Like, we don't know what's happening. I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'm never gonna.
Mm.
So she's like, you could totally take back the resignation. We'll make it all. Like, yeah. We don't, no one knows anything. I was like, no, fuck it. Like, I gotta take this shot.
Yeah.
And then, so from March 18th, 2020, I've just been kind of figuring it out.
Yeah. So what was the deciding factor that you're like, I'm gonna quit. Like,
so what I wanted to do was part time teach as a professor, part time coach esports, and then try to get into like the larger space of like broadcasting games nationally or coaching nationally or something. And for me, it felt like it was a good time for me to jump in because I could get some pay doing it locally and then consulting and doing some of these extra gigs versus just like volunteering, or like it was really starting to establish itself in northeastern PA. So I was like, okay, I can actually do this for a living. But then it was so convoluted, so complicated. And then I don't want to say there was resistance, but it was so new for a lot of people that it became difficult. And then ultimately transitioning to what I'm doing now. But it was a wild ride for a while. It really was, especially during COVID, to just have this whole new world plus a pandemic plus everything else.
Yeah, weird times, right? Really, really weird times. So what was your like, I mean, I'm sure you've probably been interested in gaming more than just as of recent.
Oh, forever, since I was like 5, 6. Yeah. Like, there's pictures of me like 3 years old in my father's lap, like playing Doom on his computer in like, you know, 96. Like, it was just, it's always been a part of my life. I've never known life without it.
What games were you into as a kid?
A lot of Doom, because that would have been like, I was just old enough to start playing as it was like growing and my father even had it. A lot of like Tekken fighting games, a lot of just like really anything I could get my hands on. I wasn't as much of a Nintendo kid, which I think people have always been surprised by. It was a lot of more of like Medal of Honor, or like shooter games like that, or anything. And I had I have an older brother, so it was anything that we could play together. So it was Madden or Game Day or any sports game we could get our hands on. You know, my parents would even like have coworkers burn us discs of like copies. We had a Game Shark to like, it was all busted. So you had to start spinning the disc before you closed the lid. Like a kid now thinks that's crazy. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Discs anymore. We're like having to spin it and turn knobs and
perform a magic trick, right?
Just pretty to much. Like start a game and hope it worked.
You know.
So I was just into it forever, and then the one game Overwatch came out for any gamers. It was big, and then it's not so big anymore. But that's when I really started to gaming competitively. You know, I played it on console. I was the number 6 player in the world at my one character.
Huh? Say it again.
So there's a particular character in the game.
You were the number 6 in the world.
According to the one stats, I was.
Really?
It was cool. So playing on a console is considered like, all right, you can do that, but then go to a computer and see how it really goes. I was decent on a computer. I wasn't great. For anyone following that does it, I was a diamond master level player. So like good enough to be interesting to watch, not so good to ever make money doing it. And so I was like, okay, that's the end of my journey. I know now. It's like the equivalent of like playing well on like D1 team in college. It's like, all right, I'm good enough, but I'm never going to make the Olympics. I'm never going to play for a pro team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm either going to be a trainer, or coach, an analyst, or just have glory days.
Sure.
And I didn't want to give it up yet.
Just have glory days. Hey, yeah. Hey, remember when I used to be? Yeah, you'd be that guy forever, right? Yeah.
Right. Number six, it'd be like tattooed on my arm. Yeah. But I wanted, I was like, wait, let me see if I can pass.
How do I still keep myself in the industry and still make an impact? Because it's what you love, right? So how do I, I see that a lot too, and I've also, you know. Just from, you know, after college and, you know, knowing some, you know, I went to Penn State and I knew some of the players then, and, you know, I still know some of them to this day. And, you know, some of them went on to the NFL and some didn't, but it was that same thing. It was like, you know, there were some that just, you know, and like you said, like they weren't, you know, the caliber, they weren't NFL caliber, but how do they still find that way to be involved in the industry? And is it broad, you know, and for some it was broadcasting, you know what I mean? It still keeps you in the game to a degree.
Right.
You know, so you're still connected.
And for me, it was I sometimes forget it myself. Like before I was in esports, I was really into bowling. Like I was a really decent bowler. And if it wasn't for injury and honestly the travel, I probably would have done that long term.
Really? Bowling?
Yeah.
Wow.
A family of bowlers. My grandparents were bowlers. Both my parents are certified coaches. My brother's a certified coach. I didn't give a shit to take the test. Otherwise, I probably would have been.
Yeah.
You know, I was really good. You know, I had people like, oh, you could go full ride to college. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I wanted a normal college.
You could do that for bowling?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of big schools you can do it for.
I had no idea.
Right.
I mean, I'm not like a huge bowler, so like I don't really know. But like, I mean, that's very interesting. I literally never knew that that actually even existed.
First $1 million athlete. I'm sure someone's going to comment and be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
First $1 million athlete was a bowler.
Really?
Don Johnson, 1964.
Oh, my God.
That's how big it was. Yeah, I was born in the wrong era. Born, seriously. 50 years ago, I would have been a bowler, and that's all I would have done, but it just died so quick, and you couldn't make money on it anymore.
Hmm. Why is that? Do you know?
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's bowling always used to be 24/7, especially in an area like ours. Like, we were really a hub for it.
There's a lot of good bowlers around here.
There still are. But when you had like the coal miners, they'd go off the line and they'd have a bowling league at 4 a.m.
Do
you know what I mean? Like the third shift would have a bowling league, then first shift would have a bowling league. Then like it was literally it wasn't just, oh, you get off and then have, you know, get off work.
Yeah, and play with a couple of your buddies. It was like they had leagues, levels to this.
All like 24/7.
Wow.
Everywhere had a bowling alley. Like there were probably 8 in downtown Scranton alone. You know, just like here's 2 lanes here, 4 in a bar. And now it's just crazy. The world's kind of evolved away from it in a way.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, you know, I had a lot, I still have a lot of wrist issues from, I barely even bowl now, but I just, so much time and repetitive motion.
Has that like affected your gaming?
Oh yeah.
When did you stop bowling? Like, I mean, like, I guess like competitively, like
probably when I was like 20, like right when I was going into college. Cause I knew I couldn't make the commitment to like, if I had one night class, like I'd lose a whole half a season. Right, I was like, I'm not going to screw with my team. So like I bowl casually now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really the switch for me. Like, all right, I can do esports whenever I want. I can do it from wherever I want. I was never going to be good enough to be traveling a whole lot, and especially during COVID. It was all remote.
Oh, yeah.
So that was such a lifesaver for me. And then I'm like, all right, now I can transition into coaching it, save my wrists. It was like this like really clean transition of going from this really dedicated bowling physical sport to moving it to esports.
Yeah. So has it affected you like in the gaming world?
Oh, my injuries? Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I used to have to wear braces when I'd play, or like braces overnight, and different kinds of mice I need to use at work. Like you'd find me with like a vertical mouse. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever used one of those?
I think I know what you might be talking about. It's like super awkward looking.
Yeah, if you took a mouse, right? I want to make sure I'm doing this right for the camera. Yep. You take your mouse and put it this way. So you're basically like holding it and scrolling like this way.
I see. Okay. I might have been thinking of something else, but I'm glad you explained that.
Yeah. Are you thinking of the big ball?
I was thinking of the big stupid ball thing.
I don't know why people use
it. Yeah, how is that? Like,
it's actually, like, for me, it was work. I'm sure for the right person with the right, I'll call them problem, like wrist problems,
right.
It works. But yeah, vertical mice, for anyone with wrist problems, vertical mice.
Huh.
Wish that was a sponsored plug, but I don't have a vertical mouse sponsor.
Well, maybe you'll get one. Yeah. We'll send this out to a few people.
But yeah, it really, like, even affects my work now.
Really?
Like certain work tasks, I'm like, I really can't, like, do this for that long, or I need to adjust just from bowling and then from gaming. Like I beat this wrist to shit.
Wow, that's crazy. And I'm sure, I mean, obviously the gaming too doesn't help, right?
No,
like, I'm sure that's also it, you know,
And that's a very real thing. Even I think like my college kids, when I was coaching them, you know, like the people would laugh. I'd be like, oh, they need to work with the trainers. And they'd be like, why? I'm like, because they're going to not have a wrist in 2 years if they keep up doing this and like not strengthening their wrists and doing like the right things. Or if they have an injury, like quit, go to the gym, go to the trainers, like actually work on your body still.
Yeah.
You can end up with so many health issues from that stuff. Like it's a whole different world that I don't know a ton about. I just know that I need to send my students.
Right,
to
right. Yeah. To prevent it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you think about it, because it makes me think back to like, I'll say like when we were kids, right? Like, and you know, I'm sure you can probably remember, you know, I don't think we're too far off in age, but you know, as a kid, like you probably heard as a kid too, like maybe from your parents or somebody at some point, like if you were on a computer a lot with like, you know, keyboards, whatever. And it's like, I feel like people always just like warn me like, oh, Bill, like you're going to, you know, be careful. You're going to like get carpal tunnel or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, and at that time, you know, whatever it is, whatever I was doing, I'm pretty sure it was probably computer related, because you know, as kids, we were all on the computer. Like I was on Napster, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, all that, and AIM and AOL, you've got mail. but there was always kind of like one of those things back then. I was like, oh, you're going to get carpal tunnel. I'm like, you know, and I understood to a degree what it was when I was younger, but it was always one of those things I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no one's ever going to get that. Like, people that do this don't get that. Like, that, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? Like, people that, you know, whether you know, you're just working at a computer all day long, or whether you're playing, you know, whether it's video games or not, either way, you know, I think way back then, and I think everybody else probably thought the same thing, like, oh, you'll never get carpal tunnel from just that. But obviously you could, right?
You could.
And it's just like, you wouldn't think of it, you know, in terms of just using a computer, whether it's gaming or not. Like, and now look at technology. I mean, obviously I think all of us are either at computers or on devices to some degree way, way more now than like back then.
I would say, do you find yourself having like wrist problems using your phone? Like for how much you're contacting people and working with people.
Yeah. I think like one of the things for me, like is this case, you know, not a sponsored post or sponsored app, it should be, it's called Loopy. But you know, I think, you know, this is, you know, the larger size phone, the Pro Max, whatever it's called. But without this case, like it's one of those things where you probably rest your pinky underneath.
Yeah.
And it would kill your hand.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, kind of solves it. But as of lately, and I think if I'm on my phone for extended periods of time, because a lot of what I'm doing, like a lot of it revolves around like, you know, interacting on social media a lot of times. Sometimes I'm doing it from the computer, sometimes I'm doing it from the phone. But I do a lot from my phone. Like it's crazy how much you could actually run a business like literally from your phone nowadays.
Yeah.
But you know, so I mean, I'm on my phone all the time. I'm not gonna lie. Like I'm on the phone a lot. Like whether it's, you know, typing or talking, whatever. It's just, I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, it's glued to all of us, and whoever says they're not is lying.
Right. It got to a point for me, like it's almost a reminder for me, because I have like such residual carpal tunnel. If it starts acting up, I'm like, oh, I've been on it a lot.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's a blessing and a curse. I'd rather not be dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good like catch for me. I'm like, oh, I'm really like.
Yeah, like I find myself sometimes like I'm a righty. But I find myself, you know, once in a while, like just switching hands. And like, I never really did that probably up until like recently.
Yeah.
Because now I'm starting, like my hand just gets like tired. I'll say, I don't really know how to explain it. But like sometimes I'm just like, oh, my hand's just like sore and tired. And then I just switch hands. And then because it's awkward with the left hand, because I don't use the left hand that much, then I'm switching right back not far off. And then I just have to like put it down. I'm like, oh, my hand is, you know. but yeah, it's I mean, again, even just, you know, I mean, you know, I've been had a cell phone for, it's crazy when you think about it. I feel old now, but the more time has gone on, the more you're on that device. Like it's glued to all of us. It really is.
You're right though. You really couldn't live most of your life without a computer. It amazes me as someone who like lives at a computer, the amount of people in my life who don't ever sign on to a computer to do things.
Right.
I think that's been the most mind-blowing thing of the last like 5-10 mm-hmm. years for me, is you don't need a computer anymore.
Yeah.
And that's just weird to me.
It is.
I haven't recovered from that.
Yeah. So are you you're still full into the computer kind of guy,
yeah,
right? I mean, I am still too. I mean, obviously I could do, there's something you could do, but there's some people will never understand this. I feel like you can, you appreciate this, but there's just some things you really can't do on mobile
devices.
I'd
just much rather do it.
It's just, everybody's like, well, it's, you don't have to do it on a computer. Well, it's like, well, if you have a laptop, I mean, first of all, it's portable. You could take it anywhere. But there's just things that I just prefer to do on the laptop. It just works better. Like everyone's like, oh, I don't need it. I'll just do it on my iPad. It's like, well, it's like, it's not that. It's like some people are like, oh, I can't do anything without the touchscreen. I'm like, I don't want a touchscreen on a computer.
I'm with you.
Right?
It's like, gotten really strange for me. Like, there's just, like, certain things. I'm like, all right, I got to go home and do my computer chores. And, like, I feel like I'm old-fashioned, like I'm at a typewriter.
I am, too. For certain types of tasks, you know, whatever it is for what I'm doing, like, some things I have to do on the computer.
Yeah.
I just won't do, even though I probably could. But it's just, like, I don't know, some things just don't. It just doesn't work. And I don't know how to explain it.
Right.
I'm doing a really bad job at explaining why, but...
Even for me, like...
If with, you know, you know.
Right. Like, even for me now, spending most of my time developing a game, I have the three monitors set up. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to sit... I'd rather have the two monitors. Like, oh, I need to send this email while looking at this other thing. I'd rather just sit there than be, like, on my phone, swapping apps.
It's actually, like, unproductive.
Right.
Right?
It takes me twice as long. Yes. It's like, oh, I can do it from my couch. I'd rather sit on my couch not doing it.
Like, if I pop the laptop open, I can get that done in 1 minute versus it'll take me 10 on my phone. Like you said, switching apps, doing this, doing that, and things don't look the same. It's just like, then you go down this rabbit hole and it's like, ah, just get the computer.
Yeah. I think there's a weird people, and I'm guilty of it myself, but like convenience over what's actually going to get the job done.
Yes.
You know, about... 3-ish years ago, I gave up all social media on my phone.
Mm.
So I don't have anything.
How'd you do that?
A lot of practice. Seriously, like it was a lot. I was like, all right, I'm going to start doing this. And I'd find myself like downloading it or like sneaking it through a web browser. Like I'm like cheating on my own idea.
Yeah, I like this.
I'm like going on, oh, it's m.facebook, right? Like it's. I'm
oh,
like,
it's not the real. I, yeah, it's not the. It's not the real.
It's not
yeah.
the real browser. I'm like, what am I doing? Like this is my idea. I'm only letting myself down by like. But it was this like really long journey of like, it's really been 3 years now. I've had people actually. In my life be like, oh yeah, you quit social media, right? Can you like, how did you do it? And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm actually a resource now. Like it's been long enough and established enough in my friend groups enough that they're like, oh yeah, Paul, he quit social media.
Yeah,
like,
he's been social media sober for 7 years.
It's weird. It's
how long has it been?
It's been about 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. Like the only one I use is LinkedIn still.
Right.
But even that, I only am on it with an extension on my computer that after 5 minutes, it clicks it off.
Mm.
Otherwise, I won't go on them.
How you know, now being on this side of the fence of that, like how has it helped you? Like what has it done for you? Good or bad, I guess.
Almost all good. I would say, I think that's the caveat. It's never all good. You know, there's certain moments, like I don't have those moments of like, oh, I got this hilarious meme from the boys. Like you lose a lot of that stuff. That's like.
Kind of like wasted time.
Right. It's wasted time.
It's like fun and funny and entertaining, but I bet you became way more productive.
Way more productive. I think the number one thing for me, and I'm sure other people that have done this have like different results for it. I think for me, it was having my like total emotional control back. You know, like I wasn't opening my news feed and being like, oh, this news story pissed me off, or so-and-so got married, I'm jealous, or so-and-so is doing, like, got a new job, how the fuck did they get it? Like, I had emotional control back, like, all right, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to read a book, I'm going to watch TV, I'm going to go to bed, I'll talk to the six people I want to talk to, and nothing else is entering my sphere. Like, I still get New York Times notifications, and, like I try to keep up in the world, but it's also, like, but I don't need to know anything else. If something happens, someone will tell me. Or I'll ask them how they are when we catch up. I don't need to see their pictures.
You don't feel disconnected at all? Like, you don't feel like you're missing out? Because I feel like that's the biggest thing. I mean, we've all experienced it, right? It's FOMO.
That was my group chat. It was called that for a reason. It was FOMO.
Yeah.
You get it in spurts, and then it gets easier, if that makes sense. Like, the first couple of times, someone's like, oh, did you see this? And no. I totally missed it. Oh, yeah, so-and-so got married, and such happened. I'm like, how many years ago? They're like, oh, two. I'm like, they got engaged. Like, I didn't even know they were dating. What do you mean they got married? Oh, yeah, that was like a while ago. You get it in bursts like that. But then it's also like, then you hear the stories of like someone will say, oh, I was online. And I saw this. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, thank God I didn't go down that rabbit hole.
Like, I don't see comment sections anymore. I don't see ads. I think that's like one of the weirder things, like a hidden benefit. I tell people is I don't spend nearly as much money because I don't have advertisements.
Wow, that's not that I wouldn't have thought that, but kind of. And it's like, wow, that's very interesting. Yeah.
There's no sales. I don't know what new anything's out.
Huh.
Someone has to tell me. It has to be that good for it to come across my plate. I'm not just seeing like, oh, new movie, new game, new show. I just do my thing if it comes up.
That's crazy. You're a rare breed. I don't know anyone that has done that.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
It is. No, it is. And that's why I'm saying it. Like literally, I don't know anyone
And I'm not even anti-social media either. It's just like we've all become complacent almost of like,
for sure,
we're all supposed to do this for an hour or two a day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I always like to put it in context for people where I think about it this way of like, humans have been around for how many thousands of years? The last 20, we decided this is the way to live. Do you know what I mean? Of like the last 20 years, we decided to spend most of our time online, and that's just the way we do it now. Well, you know, like what were we doing before then? What, like, there has to be a drawback. There has to be a drawback, right?
Yeah, like what used to go on? Yeah, like
what used to go on? Like
it's really crazy when you think about it and talk about it out loud.
You know, because, like, what did our parents do or what did our grandparents do? And does it matter that we do those things or not do those? Yeah. You know,
it's a whole different dynamic nowadays. I think some good, but you know, bad too. Like,
oh, for
you know,
sure.
Like I am, like, you know, I will say, like, as you know, I mean, obviously, a lot of my business does revolve around, I'll say, social media.
For,
I mean,
sure.
It does. And it's like, it's crazy to even think about that, you know, like all the things. And I've had little conversations like this before, maybe on the show, but nothing like this. I mean, this is like next level.
And right. And
it's impressive, actually, that, by the way, like that you are able to do that. I mean, because to be honest, I don't know if I could. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Like,
it's hard. Like, and I don't even sound like a caveman alarmist of like, oh, tech's bad. I don't believe that in the slightest.
I mean, what you do is tech, so like,
right, I would say I'm developing a game based around kids playing a game. Like, I'm the, you know,
yeah, the irony of that is it's funny. But
I read this great book. It was digital minimalism by, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell.
I've never read it, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
and that was the game changer for me of like, it's not dismissing tech and it's not like saying it's demonizing it or putting it down or saying it's anything, but being like, all right, what's the purpose of it? It's like, I don't use my Facebook newsfeed, but when I'm at my computer, I have Messenger bookmarked. So I don't even have to sign into Facebook or look at the newsfeed. I just go into my messages, answer them, close it out.
Okay.
You know, like, it's how am I using tech to benefit me?
Yeah. So you're treating it more like a tool. It's more of like a tool and a resource. It's not really a social platform. Exactly. I mean, obviously, a little bit to a degree, but by the sounds of the way you explain it, it just seems to me like, you know, it's like, hey, like, I'm using this tool. Like, it's a productivity tool, like I need to do X, Y, like it serves a purpose, and once it serves a purpose, like that's it.
That's exactly it. I'm not gonna get sucked in by a company that wants me to use it for longer than I want to be using it.
That's a lot of self-control, man. Like that's a lot of mental mind control, like to be able to do that. I mean, that's
6 years of therapy, man.
That was that it?
Part of, you know, with me, it was a lot of, so like I have diagnosed OCD, I have diagnosed anxiety, the whole, you know, all of that. And so, you know, I got into therapy about 6 years ago. You know, I had gone through some stuff in life. I was engaged, broke that off. Things went a different direction. And I had I had a therapist for about 3 years, and I'm with my current one for 3 years. That's crazy. Those 3 years went by real quick.
It always does, doesn't it?
It's just like COVID, you know? It's like, oh, I lost the COVID years.
Yeah, right.
And it was a lot of figuring out, like, what do I want? How am I controlling my emotions? Figuring all that out on my own. And one of the big influences was like, okay, if I cut screen time, if I cut some of these outside things, how does that affect me internally? And I think for me, that was a big jump to push through that. I'm sure for other people, it's any combination of therapy, medication, self-reflection, like you said, like that self-discipline. You know, I break it still. Like, I don't have perfect.
Yeah, you're not
days.
Perfect, sure, but you're probably 10 times better than anyone.
It's just like taking that shot of like, hey, I'm gonna really make sure my time's just devoted to who and what I want, and I'm not letting anyone else have a shot at it. You know what I mean?
I like that. That really, I think, makes you like a more powerful, productive type person. Like the fact that you're not giving anyone or anything like that power, that control over you. I mean, there's something to be said about that.
It's cool. It's even got me sort of out of like, and I'm sure part of it's just like maturity. Like I'm 30. I know coming out of college, I had a lot of hot takes I couldn't wait to post online, you know, like just whether it was political or social or whatever. Yeah. I was very outspoken. And I think, again, part maturity, part just like, I'm like, I don't need people to react to my every thought.
To be able to be happy with
who
yourself,
I am, what I'm doing, like, yeah. There's a lot of, and I'm sure you're going through this too, of starting your own business. It's like, it's always better for me to never think about telling anyone what I'm doing till they can see it when it's done.
Yeah,
I'll let that talk, not me.
Let your actions, you know, your the results of what you've done show and do the talking for you.
If I'm talking, but I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just like time better spent. And then when no one likes it, I get pissed. And then
and it's you're like, oh, it's not worth it. No one cares.
No one likes it.
I'm not going to do it anymore. I quit. Yeah, that's most people.
It's dangerous. There's a lot of research that shows it. And I'm starting to read more of it just on my own of like, if you're talking about doing a project or you say you're going to do it, that's the dopamine gone. You already took care of it. You got it already. You're not actually looking for doing it now. You already got your hit. Just say you're going to do the next thing and then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a fault to anyone. You know, I'm still guilty of it, but it's we're wired to just get the hit. And that's like, well, why am I going to do the thing? That's not going to be nearly as rewarding as talking about it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think that's why a lot of people, that's it. A lot of people just like to talk about it and not do anything. Because like you said, they get that quick hit. Like they're saying they're going to do it. And everyone's like, yeah, rah, rah, you're the best. You know what I mean? And then they do nothing. And then, well, because like you said, like they already got that. They got that hit and then it's over. Yeah. And like you said, because it's easier to talk. It's easier to just say, hey, I'm going to go do this. Hey, I'm going to build this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? But the real work is done actually doing the thing, not talking about doing the thing.
It's funny. And I doubt they'll ever listen to this, but I had someone I knew from high school and they posted on Facebook and they said, I'm quitting Facebook for good. I was like, man, I hope he's serious because like he's someone that I know got sucked into it a lot. And I start thinking, I'm like, nope, if he's posting that he's doing it, he's never gonna. I looked a week later and he was still up. And I was like,
yeah, like that. It was just him posting it made him feel.
And he had deleted the post. He's still on there. I was like, damn it. Like, I was like, damn it. Like, I thought this was
almost.
Almost. Because if he did it, I didn't talk to him in years. I was going to text him and be like, yo, that's fucking great, dude. Like, you probably hate my guts, but that's fucking sick.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, I would recommend, even you, Bill, I would recommend give the like a week a shot or give it a thought.
I'll consider it.
You know,
I might take it as a challenge. I don't like to back down from a challenge.
The screen time stuff, like I would have my apps like turn off after X amount of time and like just.
But then like you said, you can cheat on it. You can cheat on yourself.
Oh yeah, cheat on yourself doing it.
It's a lot of self-control.
It's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling circumnavigating your own best interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I forget, I'm going to butcher the adage of like, doing something you don't want to be doing is just addiction. It's like, okay, so we all just addicted. I'd rather not be doing it, and I'm finding my way around it.
Yeah.
But it's been an interesting journey.
That's great.
I'm sure you didn't expect me to say that today.
No, I did not. However, I think I'm pretty sure, like, I think I did know, and not that I thought it was weird or anything by any means, but, like, the only platform that we're connected on is LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think I did, you know, try looking up here and there and other stuff, and I'm like,
And I'm sure someone's going to be like listening is going to go, oh, but you posted a picture of the cat you adopted on Facebook. Yeah, I logged in, hit share, and I X'd out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was, you know, it was like, okay, I want people to see I have a cat. And I literally, it was 6 days later before I saw that people congratulated me. I was like, oh, shit. I should say thank you. Yeah, I should say thank you. Yeah. Like, they were, like, mm-hmm. I think my girlfriend had told me, oh, did you see so-and-so commented? I'm like, commented on what? I'm like, oh, right.
I forgot I did that. I forgot.
We adopted the cat and we posted it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, when you're there, you can tell when somebody's a lot more active than others. Obviously, like you, like somebody might look at your page and be like, like he doesn't really post much or that frequent. Or so it kind of looks like you're totally inactive. And most people, like, I would just dismiss it. I'd be like, maybe he just doesn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you said, like it's you post maybe one thing once a week, if that, or hardly at all. And whether you respond to the comments or not, like, you know, when somebody like me might look at that and just be like, oh, maybe he just like stopped using it.
Yeah.
And then I just wouldn't pay attention to it. Which clearly I didn't, right? Because I'm like, maybe he just doesn't.
Yeah, that's basically it.
He doesn't really use he doesn't really use those platforms. You know, and there's some people like that. There are a couple people I know that really only use like one of the platforms. And they might be on some of the other ones, but are, like, almost inactive. Like the account might be there.
Right.
But like they're almost not there, if that makes sense. Like digitally, like they're not there.
Yeah. I think people have a hard time marrying the two things of like, oh, like you work at a computer all day and you work, you know, part-time at a marketing agency and you do all these things and you're not in socials. I'm like, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, like just by the way, like it's you're allowed to do that.
Yes. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah.
People think you can't.
Right, your day job or your night job, it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a weird idea for people still.
Yeah, for sure. And like obviously I think this whole thing, you know, ties into entrepreneurship and a little bit beforehand, but we were talking about like the myths of entrepreneurship and solo entrepreneurship and, you know, like the, just the journey of it, like, you know, being alone, right? There's a lot of, and I know we could both relate
to this. It's fucking lonely, man.
Dude. Oh my God. It is. But like, I mean, I'm okay with it. Like I'm, cause like I've gotten to the point like in my life where maybe up until like, I don't know, a few years ago or so, maybe even longer ago, I don't even know anymore. Cause I don't care anymore. It's my, that's, you know, that's the punchline. But is like up until a certain point, it's like, you felt like you had to, you know, I mean, by the way, I know it's going to sound hypocritical, but I do interact a lot on social media, but it's not because I feel like I need to, it's because I want to. And that's the difference. Exactly. And there's times like where, you know, there's certain types of content that I just don't post that often, you know, but then sometimes I will, but then I won't for a month. You know what I mean? So like, again, it's what I want now, but up until like, you know, at some point, like years ago, you know, you would think that you had to be like showing this and showing that. And if you weren't doing that, then like, does he even exist? Like, is he even doing what he's, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You have that, that weird, like, I don't know if it's like almost like an imposter syndrome, that if you feel like you're not showing people what you're doing on social media, like then people might not know that you're even doing it.
No, I know. Does that what make you mean. Sense? It
does. Right.
And you know, as you're transitioning to doing this all the time, like when were the first couple of days that hit you where you were like, oh wait, it's just me out here. Like if it's, you know, like there's no one bringing donuts into work that aren't me. It's me or it's not me. Do you like, do you have those moments?
Oh yeah. Every day now, like, you know, more so now than ever, because, you know, as you know, I left my job a few months ago. But yeah, more so now than ever, you know, as now that I'm doing this, now that's got my full attention. And it requires your full attention and then some, as you know, I don't need to explain it to you, but, it's every day. Like I'll come in and then I look around. I literally say like, it's just me today. And it's just me versus me. And no one's helping me. I mean, to a degree, do you know what I mean? I want to, like, you know, I'm not downplaying my team that, you know, I mean, different story.
Yeah. But, none of us are self-made, but we certainly, you know,
yeah,
there's like, an element to it. It's different. It's really different.
It is. It is totally different. And, it's like do or die. And I think, you know, a lot of people, when they get into anything entrepreneurial, I think a lot of people have a misconception that it might be easier or things are going to come to you, and they may a little bit. Right. But man, at the end of the day, like if you're not doing anything, nothing's going to happen.
The biggest change or like switch I noticed for me was, and this, you know, and I feel bad saying it because I'm still like part-time work with other people, so I'm sensitive to how I say this, but you know, you go from watching the clock tick and now it's like, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. When before it's like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm like, fuck, there's never enough time in a day.
Yes. Yeah. That what you just said just like really resonated with me.
Like you can't wait for the day to be over. And now it's like, if I, you can now never, it's like, have enough time.
Yeah.
There's not enough time. We said
say it at the same time. Yeah. No, dude, it's so true.
Everything flips. It's like, no, I don't get paid either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I might for now, but then.
Yeah, but then even sometimes then you still don't.
Right.
You know, like it's, yeah, but it is. It's a totally different way that you look at it. And not that I was totally blind to it by any means. I mean, I you know, I knew what I was getting myself into.
Oh, for sure.
You know, for sure, to a degree. But like, I'm obviously feeling it a lot more. Not a bad way. I mean, just, but like you said, like. Nowadays, like when I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't get that done. You know what I mean? Like, whereas, you know, previously I'd be like, ah, don't worry, I'll do it tomorrow. Or if, like, if you let something slip up, maybe somebody else would take care of it. Not saying that I did that, but I'm just saying, like, if you neglect certain parts of your job when you work at a company for somebody else, you know, odds are you have somewhat of a team around you that can probably pick up and pitch in and help, or, you know, whatever it is. Right. But, you know, when you're small, just starting out, startup, whatever, you're doing everything. And it's like, and again, you're looking like, oh man, like it's not a matter of like, what time am I done today? It's a matter of, am I going to get all this done today?
Right. And what happens if I don't? Cause then what am I not getting done tomorrow? And
it just snowballs.
It's, and we were talking about this ahead of the pot day. We were talking about socially how different people treat entrepreneurs. And we saved, I think, part of it for this.
Yes.
I wanted to know, like, I would tell people, you tell someone, oh, my job sucks. And they'd be like, oh, dude, same. Like, it's a lot of like,
you know what I mean? Like, same.
Yeah, work sucks. Oh, dude, same. Happy Friday. Like, it's a lot of that.
Fuck this. Oh, fucking scary. You know, Sunday scaries. You know, that whole concept, that whole mindset, man. Like,
yes. And then all of a sudden you become an entrepreneur and everyone's like, did you try this? Did you do that? And I'm like, when is my life Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Like, is this like the Truman Show? And I'm the only one that didn't fucking find out.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel bad at times because it's like, oh, I have so many people that want to support it and help or whatever. And most of them well-intentioned. You know, right. Of course, there's people that want theirs, and that's not necessarily what I'm even talking about. But mm-hmm. It's like, I don't tell you how to do your fucking 9-to-5. Why all of a sudden do you think you're qualified to tell me that you're on Shark Tank?
Right.
You know, yeah, it's right. Weird. It sounds in a way like selfish and shitty of like, I have answers. Well, I certainly don't.
Yeah.
You've never even thought about this before. You had the answer this whole time and I missed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. People treat entrepreneurs different socially. Like, I just...
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if it's even better or worse, but it's different.
It's weird.
It's really different. Like you said, it's that mentality of like...
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, fuck this, fuck that. And I'm like, well, if I say that... What's the point then? Why did I do this?
Right. Yeah. That doesn't exist in our world.
Right. I don't find myself bitching about work nearly as much now. Do you?
No. No, because I mean, well, obviously I love this more.
Right. Right. Oh, right. So, there's
like,
that part.
Yeah, there's that. But like, again, at the end of the day, like I'm, you know, like, you know, as we were just kind of saying, like, it's all on you, me. Like, and it's like, I'm doing it and I'm accountable, holding myself accountable. And like I said, every day it's really just me versus me. And the more you do, like, I find, like, the more activity that you do, you know, I'll just in the sales, I'll just relate to, like, a sales activity. Like, the more sales activity that you start to do, the more it actually starts to, I'm like, oh, my God, now it's actually working.
Right.
It seems to be, I'm a big believer in, like, energy in the universe and things. And once you, when you start putting out that energy of, like, I'll say, making some sales calls, then all of a sudden, the world, like, opens up. And it's a very fascinating thing. And it's... For anyone that hasn't experienced it, you may not understand it. You may be like, ah, he's weird. But I'm telling you what, man, like, for example, for me, like just in the last 2 weeks, you know, I went like ham harder than I ever have. But as I started to, I'll say, put myself out there a little bit more, not that I wasn't beforehand, but like for some reason, I don't know what it was, but it was just like connected this one dot. And then it led to the next thing and then to the next thing. And then I'm meeting and having lunches and sales meetings with people that I was like, oh my God, like I never expected this. And like all of a sudden my whole calendar's filled up next week with five meetings. And like, it's a really cool feeling, especially when you're doing it on your own, like truly, truly on your own. It's totally different. And also the other thing is, and I'm not sure how you feel about this, but, the other thing with anyone with any 9-to-5, you look at the days of the week as like Monday through Friday. And then you have your weekend. Like now I'm, and that's kind of how I still, to a degree, I just kicked you. we're playing footsie here, guys. Still to a degree, I still look at that a little bit, right? But now more days, because now I have more freedom and flexibility. If I just like, you know, maybe some morning, I just like, you know what? I'm just not going to do something. A couple hours this morning, I'm just going to decide not to do the work, for example, right? But I'm like, but then I could be like, well, I could do it on Saturday. I can do it on Sunday. You know, like where previously, like you would be like, oh, I want my weekends, you know, that. And I still do too. But like now I don't really look at it like most people do. Like I don't look at it, like I'm not looking forward to Friday.
Like no,
once you get rid of that mentality of like Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you just look at every day of the week, it's just 7 days a week. What can you accomplish? It's just a day is just to me now, a day is just a day. It doesn't really mean anything. I mean, maybe routine wise, you know, I have two young kids, so it's, you know, we have a little bit different, you know, we have that dynamic, which obviously, you know, with schedules and things, you know, they of course, like, you know, look forward to the weekend a little bit, but like me, like I don't really look at things like the way I used to, you know, I don't look at it as like, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, it's Monday. You know what I mean? I just look at it as like, hey, it's just another day. It's another day to do something, to accomplish something, good or bad. You know, whatever the outcome is, it's like it's another day to do something. And that's just how I look at it now.
That's a cool outlook.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Like, you know, again, sometimes it's like, oh, like if you got something fun or cool going on that weekend, it's like, oh, hey, I'm looking forward to that thing this weekend or going on that weekend trip. Different story. You know, I'm not trying to sit here and say like, I don't believe in any of it. But you know what I mean? But it's not like, oh, I just can't wait till Friday to get the hell out of here and to just go home and just be away for, you know, be just not working for the weekend. You know, even though I did work on the weekends before this too, but you know what I mean?
It's different. It's really different.
And
I even think about, and also congrats on filling the schedule. It's a big deal.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a big fucking
deal. Dude, I'm not interrupting. You just reminded me when you said that. One of the weirdest parts for me was prior to this, I was working so much and doing so much, you know, because I had the day job and this.
Yeah.
And I had so much going on all the time, like 7 days a week, that when I left that job and I no longer had, I'll say, all those responsibilities, like the, you know, the 50, 60 hours a week that I worked there. Once that was gone, like, I honestly didn't know what to do with myself.
It's real weird, isn't
dude,
it? I was doing the same thing. I was working full 9 to 5 and then 5 to 9.
I was like the opposite of productive, to the point that I was like, fuck, I can't get anything done. Because like I operate better in chaos. And if my schedule is like completely packed, I could somehow find a way to get way more done, be way more productive. And it feels better. It feels good. But like my schedule is not full. I'm just like, fuck, what am I gonna do? I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
These are great saying. It's if you want something done, ask a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Like last fall, I was, and even like last spring, I was working full time and teaching and taking a night class and like doing all these different things. And then once I was freed up just to be working on my own thing full time, I was like, all right, so I guess I just do this 8 to 5.
What do I do?
And then I had a buddy, because I'm working, you know, I'm working part time as I'm filling in for someone on maternity leave, and I was like, I was telling a buddy of mine, I was like, yo, I'm real worried, like my full time thing's now going to be backseat a little bit. He's like, honestly, you're going to get more done in half the hours than you would before, because when you sit down, you're just in.
Yeah, you're locked in.
And
you're focused.
You have to plan every minute of your day. And I do. I almost have like a college schedule of like 9 to 10 is this, 10 to 11 is this. You eat lunch from 11 to 11. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And
you really got to map it out more.
Yep. And my days are now, I even get up earlier now, where it's like I'm working, you know, maybe it would have been before 9 to 5. Now it's 6:30 to 5.
Because
It's like I'm not losing sleep, but I can't lose daylight.
Right.
Which is, I never thought I'd be that person. You know, I kind of always like rolled my eyes at that. You get more done earlier in the morning. I'm like, fuck off. Like, I want to sleep. Yeah. Especially because like esports people, we don't sleep. I don't know if you knew. Like,
yeah, you guys don't sleep at all, right? Like, you guys are actually, you're up 24/7 too. Like, you actually don't sleep.
They don't sleep. We're just living off G fuel.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like,
and Doritos, right?
Everyone jokes esports hours are like, we stay up to like 4 a.m. because you want to play with the different regions or watch different regions. And
yeah.
So like, you get on that schedule and now I'm like, oh my God, I'm up at 6:30 and in bed by 9. Like, what happened to me? But it's, you know, it's funny. You hit on one thing that I keep thinking about too, of that mindset of like, and I don't know if you use the word or for you it's cliche, of like manifesting things.
Oh, always.
And when my girlfriend listens to this, she's going to be laughing her
ass off.
That's
right. Everybody probably hates me at this point for how much I've probably said it on the show. So
yeah, you're going to see
I'll talk about it all day.
You'll see the graph of your like YouTube viewers like dip in this part for a second.
Yeah, yeah, please guys, don't tune out. This is the best part. Yeah.
But it's fucking, I'm like, it's fucking real.
It is.
It's honest to God. Like, every time in my life when I'm like, you know what, I need this thing, I need to make it happen, I need to go find it, it's opened up.
What have you found? Like, what do you do? Do you write it down? Do you speak it out loud? Do you tell something? Like, what do you do? Like, what's your thing that you feel like is your way of manifesting something? I think everybody has something maybe a little different.
Yeah, I think mine's evolved with time. Like, for a while, I had a vision board for a while, and then I went to, like, some journaling, but like kind of minimal. It's more it'd be more like just like goal writing. Like, I love to, like, I have lots of notes. Like, I write tons and tons of notes, not like some by hand, but mostly like typing like a Word doc or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be more of a mindset, like, all right, I need to figure out how to do this thing. Or I need this kind of person. I haven't found this connection yet, or whether it's LinkedIn or anywhere. And I'm like, I need to meet this person that gets me over the hump or whatever. And then it's just like, all right, what's my path to actually get there? And I start doing the steps, and all of a sudden it comes together. Like, we were talking about, I'm partnering with a company out of Denmark for the game I'm working on. I was thinking, I was like, all right, how do I get this to market? I happened to be talking to this one guy. I reached out, was like, hey, can we have a meeting? We met. He's like, try this different thing. So I send 50 cold emails, one hits, gets the thing. And then And I think we've talked about this too, of like in entrepreneurship, there's this idea of like, oh, well, it just like kind of shit happens. It's like, no, you kind of make your own luck. Like, you send 400 cold emails in the span of a year, and maybe one finally hits. And then when it does, being ready to actually like capitalize on it, you know, it sounds arrogant in a way, but it's like, yeah, you got to fucking be ready. And like,
yeah,
it's
you
a cool
prepare.
Feeling when you do it. Like, yeah. I tell people, like, oh, how are you doing business in Denmark? I'm like, 100 cold emails.
I just made it happen. Yeah. I just did it.
And you just
like,
did it.
Like, I don't know. I just did it.
I keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if that email didn't hit, I'd send 100 more the next week and then 100 more. And then it's like, well, how'd it happen? You just kept doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to explain it to somebody,
I 100% get it. And the whole luck thing, by the way, and it just reminded me, this episode will obviously be a little bit delayed, from us talking in real time. So I'm going to talk in real time about like something. It's like, I just shared something. I don't think I shared it on LinkedIn. So you probably didn't, you didn't see
I
it.
I probably didn't see it.
I don't think I shared this. I probably will share it like maybe at some point, but I shared it on my other platforms. And it's very much along the lines of what you just said. Ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It was a tweet that I just, screenshot and just posted on the other platforms. But it said, I put in quotes, must be nice. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
Must be nice. Oh, oops, sorry, I'm playing music with it.
We just got DMCA'd after we lost all reviewers.
Yeah. Must be nice is the anthem of those who watch instead of act. Want it? Go get it. And that's it's exactly along the same lines. I'm glad you brought it up about the whole luck thing. It's the same exact thing. You know, it's when people... Whenever I hear somebody say, oh, it must be nice that you have this, or it must be nice that you have that, or you have all this, it's like, yeah, because I fucking built it. Yeah. Yeah, it is nice. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, and, it's always like, it's always a comment that comes from like a jealous, it's always something, it's nothing that I did. It's coming, it's that other person who he got lucky. Oh, he did this. No, I didn't get lucky. I did a bunch of shit and now things are working because I put in the work and now things are happening. That's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? Like it's exactly what you're just saying. Like, when people use the, must be nice or he got lucky, like, no, I created it. Like I did it. Like, whether you want to call it luck or not, whatever, whether you believe that or not, either way, it's just when you do enough activity of enough things and manifest it and set the goals and do the activities, whatever it is, it just starts to happen.
It's going
to
happen.
It's just going to happen.
Like, one of my favorite people to listen to is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, yeah, same.
Like, I've read all of his books. Like, I'm definitely, and I know there's a lot of people that think he's just some kind of crypto shell. And, like, that's fine. Yeah. I don't have to listen to everything he says.
Yeah.
But the principle of it, you walk away with what you walk away with. And for me, he always talked about, like, oh, if someone's commenting on a video, like.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com.
And now we're back on the stacks.
Oh, this sucks or whatever. It's like the first reaction. It's like your day or what you're going through is so bad that you took time to tell someone else that what they're doing is awful.
Yeah, it's you, bro.
Right, it's you.
It's not me.
Right, it's not. And that yeah. It's weird that I hadn't heard anyone really say that mm-hmm. before him. And I'm sure you know everyone's followed someone yeah. that says that.
Yeah.
But that was really transformative for me in terms of just being like, oh, right, yeah. Like, it's not on me. If yeah. someone's, like, throwing hate out into the
it's
world.
Not, yeah,
like,
it's not me. It's actually them.
Yeah, like, spread love, man. Like, what are we – what's yeah. what's the point of that? What's yeah. the actual productive outcome? And right. I think of that, you know, we both, I'm sure, have friends or people in our lives in a 9-to-5 that are like, hey, I want to do this other thing. And, you know, ultimately, I recognize, hey, I'm fucking lucky to be able to save money how I did and then go out there and start to make this happen. That's a privilege, not a right. And mm-hmm. a lot of us do that every day, recognize of, like – hey, it's a right to be, you know, it's a real privilege for me to be able to give this a shot. If it doesn't work, cool. I'll go find a job somewhere yeah. and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for me, it was so many people in my life are like, oh, I'm in a 9-to-5, but oh, if I just do this one thing or this one thing comes through and then I'll leave everything. It's like, well, then go fucking do it.
Yeah. Like, what are you waiting for?
Right. No one else is going to do it.
Yeah. And you know what the absolute worst possible outcome even if you fail is, and I saw this recently and it really kind of hit home for me.
Yeah.
And maybe you've heard this before too, but I'm trying not to butcher it here, but it's something like, you know, you go on this entrepreneurship journey to do your own thing, whatever it is. And the worst thing that's going to happen is that you fail and then you just end up back doing the 9-to-5. So like you're back, not that you have a backup plan. Cause I don't believe in that, because if you have a backup plan, it's already over. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, The worst thing that could possibly happen is I just go back to a 9-to-5, just like you're doing.
Yeah.
Like that's my failure is just going back to doing the job that everybody, literally most of the rest of the world does, is just back working for somebody else at a 9-to-5.
Yeah. We're not, it's like, wait a second. We're not,
it's like, wait, it's not that bad. It's bad cause I don't want to ever do that. Right.
Right.
But when you look at it, like, you know, in the big picture, the grand scheme of things,
you just bide your time to do it again.
Yeah, like so what? Okay, maybe you failed and then you have to do that. And it's like, oh, well, it's really not that bad. Like, you're just all you're doing is just going and then just taking another job. Like so what?
I've had friends bust me, like, in the community. I'm lucky to know a couple other developers. And they're like, you know, if this game thing doesn't work, you can now just go and manage other developers. Or you'll make more money if this fails.
Yeah, or just go back to any old job. Like,
right,
whatever it is. Like, you have you have tons of experience. You've done a bunch of different things. You could probably get, like, 10 different jobs.
Yeah, they're like, you'll make more money doing the 9-to-5 version of what you're doing with security.
Right.
Than actually, and I'm like, you're not wrong. It's just, this sure. is what I'd rather this.
I'd rather live like a psycho. That's, you know, I'd rather.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, So I've been in it. I left my job the end of last year. So that would have been, so now, oh my God, 9 months into it. And it's just such a different mindset too. Like it's psychotic. It's crazy. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's,
and if people aren't telling you you're crazy, then you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
you're not going hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to get to the point. And, you know, I feel like I've been to that point and then somewhere, even to this day, like, I'm not kidding. I think about this all the time. Like, I feel like a lot of people, and I mean, I don't care what anyone thinks, but this is just kind of funny. It's just how I think maybe some people sometimes think. Like, a lot of people probably look at me like, dude, like, has Bill lost his mind? Like, what is he doing? You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah,
it's just, and I'm glad I want you to think that, because if you're not, then I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing it right. You know what I mean? Like, once you have those people that are like, whoa, he is like next level. That means you've grown. You've outgrown those people. Actually, that's the first thing it is you've outgrown those people. You're clearly doing something good, badass. You're actually getting shit done. You're making a difference, and you're doing something that you love. And it's like, and then people are like, whoa, like, he's crazy. It's like, well, maybe I am a little bit, but yeah, it's fucking cool. And I love it. And I'm making shit happen.
Yeah. I don't, if you're not taking a risk, there's no point taking the jump.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot more recently too, of like you said, if someone isn't looking at what I'm doing, be like, oh, that's crazy. Like, how is that going to work? It's like, okay, good. I'm on to something.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
If everyone's sitting around thinking it's going to work, then it would have been done.
Everybody. Already. Yeah, and everybody be rich.
Right. Right. If it was that easy, it should sound stupid. It should sound crazy.
It has to. It has to.
And, it doesn't have a shot otherwise, I don't think.
And it's always, it's crazy until you prove otherwise. That's the thing. Like, you know, and I think I've done that to a degree here, like with myself, like with what we've done here. Because I can't tell you, I saved them all. You know, I literally, I use it as fuel. I love that. I love when people bash it. I love when people bash me. I love when people...
I'm not kidding.
I saved them all. Dude, I share them every once in a while. I made a Twitter thread one time, the top 10 things that people said about me.
Really?
Some were to my face, some weren't. And it was, some people really ripping on me hard. Like, who does he think he is? Like, that little podcast thing's never going to work. He's never going to do this. I've gotten some, I'm not kidding. It was probably a year or so maybe ago. I forget, but I feel like I should post it again because it's been a while. But I actually had a top 10. I think I put them in order from 10 down to 1 from to my favorite, whatever. Well, yeah.
Least to most offensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This one was it was the best but worst comment. Do you know what I mean? Meaning it was really harsh. That was my favorite one was probably the one that I felt was the most jab, the most it was man, that whoever said that, boy, can't believe they said that. You know what I mean? And that was my, whatever that was, that was the number one. But yeah, I honestly enjoy that. I take them and I'll share them. I share them with people. I do. Cause it's I don't know. I'm different.
No, I think a lot of people do. It's funny. I'm not on socialist to even get sure. that. Yeah. So it's my mindset ends up being so different of I think there was a time in my life when I did use that as fuel a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's almost evolved to a point of it sounds so fucking cliche and corny of just surrounding myself with positivity.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's part of me at times that's I kind of wish someone would tell me this just fucking sucks. Do you know what I mean? There's part of me that misses people just look at me being
But there's also, it's also good. I feel I'm a little bit probably beyond it now too. I mean, I don't even remember how long ago it was I posted that. And I mean, I still probably get some of that stuff here and there. And not that I, like I said, although I said I love it, I use it as fuel, but like I said, it's been a long time since I went through that. I couldn't even tell you how long ago it was, but yeah, I teeter on that. Like you said, I'm to the point now where, especially for me, a few months ago when I had a health incident, health scare, all that, leaving the job, it was a big to-do in my life. You know, it was a lot of bad shit, that really shook my life up multiple times. And it was just to your point, what you said after that, in that moment when I came out of that, that's why I said to myself, I'm eliminating, not that I was keeping people around me that were just super negative, but to the point that I just stopped totally associating with so many people. Even if it was just a tiny bit, I was just why am I even letting that tiny bit in my life? It's just, I don't need that. I just don't need it. And I just reevaluated who's in my life, who's important, why are they here? What purpose are they serving? And the way I look at it now, it's if I'm having any conversation like this, whether it's, this is obviously business, but it's also a little personal too, right? But
right.
I feel like I don't even want to engage with people if I'm not adding value to you, and if you're not adding value to me, the fuck are we doing?
Yes.
Right? What the fuck are we doing? What's the point?
Right. I think about when I was in college, my Facebook friends list, it would be 900 people, and I'm none of these people are
99% of them don't really matter.
Right, they don't matter. And I know I'm smart enough to know I don't fucking matter to them.
They'll soon enough write you off or throw you under the bus faster than you even realize it.
I always joke with people and they always laugh. They thought this was the funniest thing. If someone's, how the upper right on Facebook specifically, it's oh, so-and-so's birthday's today.
Yeah.
If I didn't give a shit to wish them happy birthday, I'd unfriend them.
Yeah, dude.
That was my recurring cleanup of just being oh, it's their birthday. Well, I don't give a fuck.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I used to look at that religiously because I was always the type of guy I also like to just acknowledge people and especially, I would just feel bad if I missed somebody's birthday if I cared about that.
Right.
Person,
if I cared about them, oh, awesome. I'm like, if I don't, I'm like, then why are they on my friend's list? Like, it was a cleanup.
But
for
I used to find myself looking at that, hitting that. I actually turned the notification off because I think you get notified.
Yeah.
I actually shut that off a while back. I don't remember when because I don't get notified anymore. Sorry if I didn't wish you guys happy birthday, whoever all of you are that I don't wish happy birthday anymore. I don't. But I used to religiously click on that freaking thing every day to make sure to wish people happy birthday. And now I'm I clicked on it today. And the only reason is because today actually in real time is my father-in-law's birthday. Besides that, I knew it was his birthday, but I'll glance on over on the side on Facebook and his name, there was 10 people's birthdays today, but his happened to be the first one. And I clicked on it today only because you know, his was in there, and I was like, oh, who else's birthdays are today?
Yeah,
but couldn't tell you last time I clicked on that, and I'm just like, I don't care. I just don't care anymore. Like I said, it's to me, it's more of a matter of like value exchange and the time. Like, I don't know about you, man, but I mean, I've been like this for a little while now, but now more so than other. Like, don't waste my fucking time.
Yes.
Like, don't waste my fucking time. Like, my time is so much more precious now. Not that it wasn't before, but all the shit that I went through, you know, and now doing this and on this journey, it's like, not that I didn't value my time before, but I just did a lot of bullshit. I did a lot of bullshitting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have time for that. Like, somebody's like, hey, you want to like bullshit? And then, no, I don't want to bullshit. Like, I don't want to do that. No, like, if it's not a productive thing, then, and again, everything doesn't need to be a business trip. I don't want anyone to think like, oh my God, this guy's like a psycho. I might be a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, what's the value here? Like, if we're not helping each other in some way, like, what are we doing?
I think
you're just passing time for what?
I think about that too, like just like in a regular work day, the amount of people I'd like text during the day, yo, what's up? Yo, did you see this meme? Yo, whatever. I'm like, I can't think about it. Like, I just like
the same.
Like, I literally on my phone, I'll have to show you after, I have a work focus and then the home wallpaper changes to stop focusing on dumb shit.
Dude, I my phone's almost in, I have a couple different ones too. And I'm to the point now where I have it in some focus status almost 24/7 now.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be bothered, and it's just the nonsense. Like, again, I've had friends be like, "Hey, like, you don't really reach out anymore," and I'm like,
"No, okay, I don't."
Well, like, sorry. What do you want me to say? Like, I have nothing to say. You know, like, oh, we stuck. I'm like, yeah, but like, it was just nonsense. Like, it's just a waste of time.
Right. Like, come see. Like, I'd rather go and spend the whole day with someone than spend the.
Yeah. It's just
10 days bullshit texting.
It's just wasting my time. You
right.
know?
Right.
Like, I used to be that guy. I'd be texting a million different, and I still do text a million different people, but it's productive now. It's not like, it's not just BS. It's not just doing it just to pass the time. Like, you know,
right.
It's so different. I don't know, man.
Like my time falls into buckets now. I feel like, especially not being on social media. It's like, all right, I'm either working or I'm relaxing, or like, cause like you said, it's not like all my time needs to be work or productive. But it's going to be something.
Yeah, and it's got to feel good to you. And if it doesn't, then fuck it.
That's
literally how I think. Like, if it's not something that I enjoy anyway, that's really. And again, I think the biggest thing for me, besides doing the entrepreneur thing journey now, put that aside for a minute. But for me, it was more so like my health when I had that little heart scare a few months ago. That to me was a total reset. And it's like nothing really fucking mattered after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not even this. I mean, like,
it's
this,
empowering, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, literally nothing mattered.
This could fail tomorrow. But as long as your family's fine, it doesn't fucking matter.
As long as I still have my health and my family, fuck the rest. I don't care. The money, whatever. Anything, it doesn't matter. Like, do I love all this? And do I still want? Of course, 100%. But at the end of the day, like, this does it matters, but it doesn't.
You might love this. In real time, someone I know just came back to work. They just got married and they did their honeymoon, and congrats, Rachel, if you're watching this. Yeah.
Congrats, Rachel, yeah. whoever you are.
Watching this months later, whenever this is on. Yeah. But it was funny. She was talking about, like, oh, I'm so stoked to, you know, it was so great and so wonderful. I'm so filled with, like, I could literally feel it through the text where I was just messaging her because I was working remote today. And she's like, oh, but coming back to work is tough. And I was like, hey, work, as much as we all love it, it's lowercase m. That's a capital M. You know what I mean? Like, you got fucking married and, like, had a honeymoon. Like, right that way, whatever happens here doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go home and he's going to be there and you're going to do your thing. And, like, that's all that matters now. Like,
that's it.
You know, I think about that so much. And people are like, oh, like, aren't you worried about the business failing? I'm like, no. Like, when I have my business hat on, sure. Like, I don't want it to fucking fail. But, yeah, like, is it keeping me up? I'm like, no, I don't give two fucks about it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. Like, my life's no different.
Yeah, I'm
no
better or worse. Yeah.
I love to be a millionaire and to be successful. But if not, I got the people around me.
Good.
I have my health. Yeah. Like, that's all that matters. If I wake up tomorrow and it says your business failed, game over. Okay.
Be like, it'll sting a little.
It's a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'd be like, ah, fuck. Well, I'll just go back to doing what everybody else does in the world. Just a job. I mean, I wouldn't, because I won't do that. But like, but you could. Like,
you're not getting the call from, you know, someone in your life being like, hey, so and so's not. Yeah, like, yeah. Those, you know, those things. It's so different. I think there's just such it's so empowering, kind of removing that stress of like, oh my God, I need to be good at my job because it's part of me or whatever. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't know if you feel the same. Now that I'm doing my own thing, my job couldn't less be a part of me, which is like, it almost, you feel like it'd be the reverse. I'm like, no, I don't care. Like, my product doesn't have an emotion. You know, my game doesn't have an emotion. The money doesn't. it doesn't matter. I don't even have it updated on my Facebook that I'm doing my own thing. You know, it's like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not my work. I'm not my business. I have one,
mm-hmm.
but that ain't me. Like, that's a whole different thing that I do to make money.
Yep.
That's not not, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are awesome that have, like, hey, this is their passion project. This is their whatever. This is their vocation or life thing. And, hey, that's awesome. If that works for you, like, go after
it. Yeah, great.
Not for me.
Yeah.
This is a job, and it makes money, and I hope it makes a shit ton. It's not who I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's been really empowering and different stepping back and being like, oh, what do you do? Well, I do this thing, but also, like, I live a normal life and have these hobbies. Like, that's what matters, not what I sit and do at a computer all day.
Yeah, it only matters to a degree.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, what, you know, like I said, like, what really matters? And it's like, just a few things, actually. Nothing else. Everything else is just bullshit.
Right. We're just passing the time.
Yeah.
Which is a really, like, it sounds depressing, but it's like, it's really flipped the other way to be more positive for me.
Yeah.
Like, like I said, now that I'm managing, like, it sounds like we're both doing the same thing of, like, managing who and what gets our time. It's like, no, like, it's fulfilling.
It's actually the greatest feeling in the world, isn't it? To now, like, because not that I like, previous to this, I almost, like, felt like I wasn't in control of my own life, my own time, right? Now it's like I get to decide who's talking to me, like, and who I'm talking to. Like, I get to decide. And if I don't want to talk to anyone, I don't have to talk to anyone. Like, it's so different. It's like such a, I can't even explain it, because until you experience it, you probably will never understand. But it's like, you know, I just feel so much more empowered that I'm just like, I'm 100% in control of my destiny. However you want to look at that, you know, personally, professionally, doesn't matter. I'm like, now I feel like I felt trapped before. Now I'm like, the weight of the world is gone. And I just, like, if I don't want to do that, just don't do it. And they get pissed off. I don't care.
Right. It's been different. And and for me, it's, and I think we talked about this too, for me, it's been so different of, I didn't want to, you know, I'm lucky enough that I had a whole ton of people help me make it happen. Like, I'm certainly not self-made, but
100%,
like, once you get to that point of being empowered, it's like, this is just, it's fucking unreal.
It's different. It's a whole other game. No pun intended.
No pun.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the sequel.
Yeah, right. So, but speaking of that, you know, I know we touched on it a couple times. Everybody can probably get the gist of kind of what you do, or like what you're doing. It's like, what are you building? What are you making?
So I'm making, basically, it's an esports manager game. So when I looked at what I love to play and, like, what's out there in the world, I grew up on traditional sports games of, like, Madden, NBA 2K, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can manage a team as well as actually play the games out. Well, in esports, there's this weird sort of layer of, like, all right, I like League of Legends or I like Overwatch, but there's not, like, a game where you can manage a team playing that game, which for a lot of people listening are like, that sounds fucking ridiculous. Like, it's, go play the goddamn game then. It's different. Like, it's just, you know, for those of us interested in it, it is really appealing. Of like, oh, I like playing Madden, but I don't always want to play the football part. I'd rather play a general manager. That's fun to me. And so I was like, okay, let me see if a general manager version of esports exists, and it doesn't. A couple of them do. They're either poorly done or cartoony or non-realistic. I want it to be as, like, close to the real thing as possible. And so when I quit my job at the end of last year, that's all I've been doing, is just developing this game. On top of, you know, all the CEO stuff of making appearances and shaking hands and kissing babies, and also trying to build this product and then finding partners to help really blow this thing up into something special with the branding and the marketing, and make it not just look like one person built it. Because that's the real challenge. It's like, all right, one person built it, but how do we make it look like a team of 100 did it?
Mm-hmm.
By getting the real people, the real things, the real assets and art. Same for a podcast or, like, anything else. It's like, all right, how do I elevate this to kind of fake it till it makes it, but also really look and feel like what we want it to? And mm-hmm. so all my time now, honestly, like, my 9-to-5 when I'm just on my own is just coding and developing and building a game. You know, I took one coding class in college. The advent of AI really shifted how I even thought about this. I wouldn't be able to do this without AI, as much as that's a hot topic for reasons I don't quite understand. That's really, I went this summer, I was like, oh, we have AI now, I can code. And I just started building a game. And
that's,
like,
fascinating.
I'm pretty not shit at it. You know, like,
wow.
I took one coding class. It was like a basics of C++. And this summer I was like, well, I can probably learn C#. It's sort of in the same line. I was going to say it's derivative, but I'm sure someone in the comments will correct me that it's not a derivative. Sorry, I'm trying my best. But then, yeah, so it's just been building out this game and this product. I'm really trying to make it something like a Football Manager, for instance, has come out every year for the last 10, 15 years. Build the company really around this. You know, it's not like, oh, is there going to be a sequel or this other thing? Like, no, this the goal is just really build this out, make this amazing thing, and, you know, make it a premium, huge product. And the challenge really is, how do you make something like this global? You know, adding all of the languages and players and teams from many games. Right. It's a lot.
Yeah. So where are you at with it?
So, you know, it's funny. Because I'm such a new developer, what I did in 9 months, now I could probably do in a month and a half.
Isn't
or 2 months.
Isn't that funny? Once you get the experience.
And then now it's like, all right, what I'm doing in the next 2 months, I'll probably be able to do in a week soon. So I'm close enough now that it's, as I'm working on partners, we can start bringing things to lawyers and teams and players and be like, hey, this is what's being worked on. Here's a prototype behind the scenes. Are you interested? Like, do you want to get in on this? Because we're going to start ramping up soon. So, you know, I'm hoping to release it sometime either in like mid, late 2025, early 2026.
I was going
to
say, what's the timeline?
That's the hope. It's because it's so nebulous, and I'm lucky to have really understanding partners too, that I've talked to them of like, hey, what's our like goal here? And we're all just like, we don't know. Like, if we have a sponsor that comes in, it's like, yeah, I want the slap, like,
yeah, it's, you know, it's ever changing. It might accelerate. It might you know, slow down. It's just, it's ever changing based on probably a million different factors. Right.
Like, if Mountain Dew or Gifu was like, yeah, we want to slap a sponsorship in the game. Here's X amount of money.
Great.
Now,
fast forward, you know.
Right. We're ready to go.
Gear up. Yep.
Versus we might take longer and build out more, or we change or get different funding ideas, or like,
sure,
you know, we have a lot of partners I'm working with are a player agency. They've already talked to some players about it. They're like, all right, let me know. Like, I want to be on the cover. I want to do this. I want to do that. It could blow up overnight. We could have a play test and then everyone sees it on Twitch on one stream. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, we got to ramp this up. Like, whatever money we have to throw at it, let's just do it. We got to get it out like next week. So it's terrifying. It's awesome. It's cool. Cause it's like, I'm doing something I don't know how long it takes to do.
That's the best part, dude.
It's cool. It's cool and scary and awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to say it's scary because it's like, I'm not like, it doesn't,
it's unknown, it's not worrying. But like, that's the great part. I do. I've said this a million times. Everybody says like to me, like how, and I won't even tell the whole story because it's just too long. I always make it, I say long story short too many times and it's never a long story short. But like when I first started this, I went into it not knowing.
Yeah,
that
you
was
don't
it.
Know.
And that's, and in my opinion, everybody says like, well, why do you think you've been successful? I was like, well, because I didn't actually know how much work it was going to take.
I have no idea.
I went to it so naive. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't really look much up online. I just, you know, I want to say I got lucky, but I had somebody in the beginning that was like, hey, I see you're doing that thing. Like, do you need help? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I could use your help because I have no idea how to do this. And then I was able to start it because he helped me. And again, had I had to do that work and figure all that out, dude, like, forget it. I probably would have quit. And that's why most people quit, because like, they realize with anything, not just this, but with anything, they realize how much work it actually is and how much it's going to take and how long it's going to take. And most people aren't willing to be like, oh, shit, I got to do that for 5 fucking years before I could ever do really do it. You know, and they're like, ah, screw that.
Yeah, like people ask me now, they're like, oh, like, how are you making money? I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And they're like, wait, what?
I'm like, oh, I have a thing. Like, I had to save up enough that I think when I quit, I had like 26 months saved up that of rent.
Just give
expenses,
yourself the runway.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I have 26 months to figure it out, or I'm working at McDonald's. You know what I mean? And like, which is fine. Yeah. Then that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah, but hey, at least like,
I'll find a job.
Yeah. However it plays out, like, you've done 1,000 things more than anyone else, because like, most people won't even attempt. Most people won't even do more than just say, hey, I'm thinking about doing it. Most people just think it and say, hey, I might do that. But I mean, like, you've surpassed, you know, 90-some% or more, I would imagine that, you know, because again, most people just, they just never do it.
And for me, it was finding, do I actually want to do it, or is it just up here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, for me, it was like through the fall and the...
Yeah, you have to actually try it.
I was like, right. I was like, all right, if I do this 5 to 9 for 2 or 3 months, do I actually like putting the time into this, or am I going to regret doing it? And I was like, no, I'd rather actually do this all day than that. And that was, because for me, because I've definitely had that, I think we all have, of like,
yeah,
enough people tell you, oh, that's a great idea, you're like, yeah, and then yeah, all of a sudden you're like, wait, I actually don't like doing the work that you because like doing
the- yeah, I didn't realize like okay, like the work that it takes to do it, I didn't realize I wouldn't like it.
Like someone's like, oh, I want to start a podcast. Yeah, but that means you got to put a fucking room together. Do you like putting a room together? If you don't, maybe that's not for you.
Yeah, and if you don't like all the back end stuff, like I told you before, like I don't do any of the editing, but I am still involved. Like I still pick clips. I pick, you know, this and that.
Right. If you hate the aesthetic, you can't do it.
Yeah, the aesthetic, everything here. Like I've had a few people pitch in and some stuff here and there, and like my wife, and I like helps with some stuff. But otherwise, like a lot of these, they were concepts in my head that then I just did it. I just did it. I'm like, okay, this is I like this. This is fun. I enjoy this. I can make shit. Look, I fucking love it here. Like, it's great. Like, it's finally like, you know, I was telling you before, like, it's the point, like, I love it now. Like, it's almost like, I'll say it's finished. It took me like 2 years to get this set. And I know, you know, a few weeks now, I'll probably be changing shit again. And like we said, right before we came on.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to text me in 3 weeks. Be like, oh, we forgot to turn
it. Dude, I totally, I forgot that. I totally changed the whole room around, you know? But again, it's all these other little things. Like you said, it's actually doing the work and you don't, who knows if you're actually even going to like it.
Yeah. And that's such a dice roll, right? I was like, oh, I like this right now, but do I like it?
It seems cool on the surface. Yeah.
All day, every day. And I'm lucky enough that I do. But when I made the jump, it was like, okay, can I actually, like, I had to like the job and then like learning how to do the job. Because I was like, I'm not a developer. Like, I wasn't. Now, it's weird to say I probably can start saying I am. You know, I've done this for 9 months. I'm like, no, I can put something together. I probably am.
I've actually built some shit.
Yeah. I'm far enough along now that I probably need to start changing that. But it says that on my business card, so I probably should. I probably should say I'm a developer. But it's such a difference. And I think I had a lot of incredible people even through the fall and that got me over that hump of like, hey, if you're going to do this, like, make sure you gear up for it. Make sure you understand, like, it's going to take time. You're not going to wake up and just have a product tomorrow. You're going to be staring at this. And one day, maybe you'll have a product if it gets that far. And then if not, know when to bail and move on to the next thing. That's fine.
Yep.
And I think that's just been such a change for me. And I think we sort of said it in different words earlier of like so liberating when like people come to me and are like, oh, I have this idea at work. I have this other thing. I'm like, what? I can't imagine not doing a thing now.
Agreed.
Like, this is the big thing. If I couldn't do this, like, or now what I did is I can do anything. So if someone's like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, well, like, what are the stakes there? Like, I'm literally going to go broke. What are your stakes here? Like, you have an awkward one-on-one at work? Like, what's the actual...
Who cares?
What's the real deal here? You're going to go home and...
be like, oh, my boss said, like, oh, we can't do that because they didn't like it. Okay.
Okay.
So what?
Right.
Go back to work the next day.
Right. We screw, you know, I'm saying this in real time, but I'm negotiating a deal and I had a real boneheaded move and I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, I might not have a business deal anymore, hon. We better get out the ramen. Like, it's real stakes now. I'm like, how could you, why wouldn't you take the shot?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start taking this big one, everything else just like falls in line. I feel like you probably feel very similar.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And it's a, you know, that's why I also love so much about also doing this too, is having conversations. You know, not everybody that have on is entrepreneurial or as entrepreneurial as somebody like you or I, but I really enjoy, you know, having these types of conversations. I feel like we could, you know, again, like I'm to the point in my life where I said before, like these are types of conversations that I just can't even have with people that I used to have conversations with a year ago because we can't even relate. Like, we're not
it's
even
weird. It's
and by the way, like, I know this, people are probably thinking, oh my god, he's so arrogant, he's cocky, this and that. Like, no, it's not about that. It's just, I mean, I've grown, and have I outgrown some people? 100%. I know that. They probably don't think that. They just think I'm like, you know, this asshole now. But right. Like, no, like, I grew. That's what happened. You stayed the same. I changed, and it was like, you changed. Like, yeah, I grew. That's the fucking point. Right. Like, that's the point. Yeah, I don't want to stay the same forever. I don't want to do, you know what I mean? Like, That's the freaking point. And it's like, and when people are like, oh, like, you're so different now, I'm like, thank you, actually. You know, normally people, it's almost like an insult. People,
right.
You know what I mean? They're like condemning you for like, you know, being in a different place. And like, it's like, no, like, you stayed the same. I grew and I'm moving along. And if you're not on the same level, like, hey, it was great. It was great while it was great.
Yeah. I think
move on.
I'm with you. It's changed. Move on. It's changed so much of how I've seen the people in my life, are just like how I even go about my day, thinking about, like, right, same thing as like, wait, I'm still having this conversation 3 years later.
Yeah.
Like, how am I in this spot? Like, I've outgrown this conversation. I've outgrown this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even think about, like, you know, I'm someone in the fall that like seasonal depression really starts to hit, you know, or like I start thinking about, oh, days get shorter and everything. And like, I start thinking about people that used to be in my life and I'm like, oh my God, like they're doing that now. Like, you know, like just shit like that where I'm like,
yes,
like
it's, I can relate awful. So much. That's why I laugh. Cause I'm like, it literally brought me back and I'm thinking of things.
Like,
you know?
I'm like, oh, right. Like I would have been doing this or hanging out with this person.
Yeah, like it's that time of year. I would have been over there doing that thing.
It would have been like,
it's almost like a little PTSD trauma. Cause it takes you back to that moment in your life. And you're like, oh fuck. I can't.
This would have been poker and casino night. And, you know, like I have no problem admitting that.
Yeah.
I'd end up at the casino and be like, wait,
and now you're looking at like, what was I wasting my time on?
Yes. And
right?
And then I could go on, if I were on socials, go on any of them. I'd find pictures of everyone doing the same thing. I'd be like, what do you mean you're still doing this? Like, what do you mean? And lucky enough, I'm surrounded by a lot of people that did make the hurdle. And like, yeah. You know, and a lot of those people, like, I don't know if you've gotten this. Like, you get the text, you're like, hey, I fell out of touch the last few years. XYZ happened. Like, I'm so sorry that I did that to you. And I'm like, no problem. Like, it's weird. I'm starting to be on the receiving end of those texts, not sending them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's really gratifying because it's like, oh, I put a lot of fucking work in. It's like, I think it's, you probably feel similar, especially after, you know, the health incident and everything. It's like, it feels weirdly boastful, but I'm like, no, yeah, I did put a lot of fucking work in. Like,
yeah.
I'm not on social media for 3 years. I'm in therapy for 6 years. Like, yeah, I put the fucking work in. Like,
it's, yeah.
People are like, oh, how are you? I'm like, good. Like I could actually say I'm fucking good.
You feel great about it, right? Like, it's like you have that feeling. It's just, it's a different feeling. And I get it because I've been through a lot of the same things, you know? And it's like now it's like, it's a relief. It's like validating,
like, you know? Did you go to your high school reunions? I know that sounds like like a left field question, but like.
No, not at all. But no, I didn't. There was one, I think, when was it? So I think there, at some point there was supposed to be like there, we, you know, there was a 10-year one, you know, a few years or so ago. But I think it is a weird thing. Maybe just my high school, but everybody hated each other actually for the most part. So it actually never ended up happening.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because there was a few people that like tried to organize it, and I think they might have asked me to help a little bit, and I kind of sort of did, maybe just like helped promote it or helped to reach out to some people, whatever. And I was one of those people. First of all, I hated high school. Like I never fit in. I was just like I was a bad student. When I say bad, I mean I was just like I was the kid in the back of the room getting kicked out, goofing around. I was an average student because I just didn't give a shit because I just knew high school was a fucking waste of time.
Right.
For the most part. But
for the high schoolers.
Yeah. So like come the high school reunion time, like, I mean, I've also just always been like a pretty social person. So, for me at first I was like, nah, fuck that. I hate high school. I'm not, I don't give a shit about any of those people or whatever. But then I was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe I would like to see some of them. You know what I mean? And I was just like, I would take it or leave it. But then it just didn't end up happening because I guess the pre-sale, the tickets, like not enough people bought, and then it just didn't work out. So the few that really were the ones in charge of organizing it just said, hey guys, we got to cancel it.
Oh, that's so
we never had one. That's it.
That's so interesting. Like I went to my 10-year and I think about like all the people coming out of high school, everyone's like, oh, they're going to be super successful.
Oh, it's always the opposite.
And like the amount of people, they're like, oh, how are you? I'm like, and even then, like I wasn't entrepreneur yet. This was 2 or 3 years ago, I think it would have been. So like, I was like still finding myself, but like in a good place. People are like, oh, Paul, how are you? I'm like, oh, good. Like we all, I was actually part of a class. We really did like each other. We went through a couple tragedies and things together as a class that like brought us together, which was really nice.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, minus the tragedy, of course, but minus I didn't have that, but
brought us together rather than like,
yes, then the opposite, or it made you guys closer than you were before.
Oh, for sure.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's a weirdly tight-knit group for like I was talking to people at the reunion that I didn't even talk to once in high school for like 10 15 20 minute conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But then you talk to certain people like, oh, how's it going? They're like, you know, like not great. And like I felt bad in a way because it was like, you're in that, like, I won't see that person again for another 5 years. And the only interaction I had with them was them telling me they aren't happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn. What do I have to do to help them?
Yeah, it sucks, right?
Get over that. Yeah, because it's like, I couldn't imagine, like, even if I was that, I feel like I'd be too prideful to admit it. Mm. I would have given it like a more bullshit.
Yeah, and you'd be like, oh, I'm good. I got it all. I got the great job. I got this.
Right. And I'm like, and maybe I appreciate the honesty. Maybe I should just appreciate the honesty of being like, yeah, well, things aren't great. But I'm like, God damn. Like, I think about now if I went back for like the 15 years, someone's going to be like, Like, when the fuck, like, who did you change into? Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in high school, I was just, like, a very mean, bitter person. And to evolve into what I am now, like, I tell people that, and they're like, what do you mean you had anger issues? Like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah. Like, that was a real fucking thing.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, I still have the hot streak, but it's like...
But, like, you've grown.
Right.
And I mean, back to what I said before, like, you grew.
Yeah,
you
grew. I grew. And it's just, I'm rooting for everyone else to figure that out, but it's like...
Same.
You got it. Eventually, you have to take at least one chance to do it. You hear people do the same patterns, and it's like you gotta find a way out of it.
Yep. Yeah, and the way out is just to do something different.
You gotta do something different.
You gotta get outside of your comfort zone, and you know I'm a huge believer in that because that is where growth happens. It's
say yes to everything.
Yeah,
I'm sure you did.
Figure
it too.
The fuck out. Oh yeah.
You say yes. Say to everything. Yes. Hey, you want to come in this thing? Yeah. Yep. I don't know what it is, but I'll figure. Yeah. Like,
right. Right.
I'll fucking figure it out.
Figure it out. That's my mentality. It's always kind of been that mentality. Like, I don't even care. Even if I don't know how to do something, to me, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I'll either know somebody that knows how to do it, or if I have to partly figure it out on my own, I'll do that. To me, it's just, I'm just built different. I think you probably are too, but like you said, you're also a perfect example. Like you weren't a coder. Right?
Is no,
the right word? Am I using the right coder? you know, right? But like, you didn't code. Like, but look what you're doing now. You know, and like,
I had the idea. I'm like, do the rest of your fucking details.
Yeah, I'll just figure it the hell out, and that's it. And it's just like you just figure it out as you go. And I think so many people think they have to have the perfect plan, have all the pieces to the puzzle together, and they need to be the expert. No, like you don't. In fact, like you should start out, and you should suck, and you should fail, and just keep doing the thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Ask for help. Get in touch with the right people, and just keep fucking going. Look at you. Like, look at you.
Appreciate
you know what
that.
I mean? Like, I mean, it's inspiring. It really is, you know? And I think there's not enough people that just like look at it that way. Everybody just thinks like, oh, I can't do that. No, you could. Just change your minds. Just change your mindset and surround yourself with the right people. Like I said, I mean, I'm not gonna repeat myself again, but I get so fired up about it because like, it's literally like, anything is possible.
I remember when I was teaching an adjunct at Lackawanna College, and so I had a couple of classes, but one of them I taught public speaking, which I'm very passionate about. You know, I've been lucky to do a lot of cool public speaking things, and I had some students really open up, and I was lucky enough that they did open up to me. And a couple of them, like the one kid was talking about, he's like, I said, oh, what's everyone's goal for this class? Like, I waited a few weeks. I didn't want to hit them with that week one.
Because they were already terrified.
Yeah, it's an 8 a.m. public speaking class.
Terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I'd rather not be here. And, you know, a few weeks in, I finally asked, I was like, all right, what's everyone want out of this class? And one of the kids raises his hand, and he's like, oh, yeah, my grandmother's funeral, I was too afraid to get up and say something. I never said it. I never told the story I wanted to. I'm never letting that happen again. I was like, right on. Like, we're going to figure this out. Like, take the chances in this class, fail the fuck out of it if you have to, but like you're gonna get points for really giving a shit.
Yeah,
you know, and I think
that's impactful.
I think about that kid a lot. He was a great student and like really.
I don't even
know him,
and I got the chills over here.
It's cool. I was like, yeah, like that's the fucking right attitude. He was just like, yeah, I'm not gonna
let that like define me.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not gonna like I have that anxiety about speaking. I'm getting over it in this class. I'm like, I'm gonna work through it and figure it out, and I'm gonna get up there and fail. And I'm like, he would tell me after class, he's like, oh, Mr. C, like, I'm not, like, I don't feel good about this speech. I'm like, good. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, just put the work. Like, if you try, like, I'm not here to grade you for perfection. Like, that's not what this exercise is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like, him a lot. And, like, I was lucky to have a lot of, like, really inspiring friends in college, too, of, like you mentioned, like, with me, like, oh, I didn't know how to code. I just did this thing of, like, people that either want to start businesses or like write a book or do these things. And it's like, they didn't know how to do it till they did it.
Right.
You know, like if you have the perfect plan, chances are you're just a good planner. That doesn't like it doesn't actually.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of like, I was one of those people like, I need every detail. It's got to work. And no, like the only part of it that's like a guarantee is that you're not going to follow any, whatever you wrote up.
Yeah. And I mean, look at all the big players, you know, like you just take Elon Musk, for example. I mean, I think he's a really good example. The guy built fucking rocket ships. Like, what business did he have building rocket ships?
Right.
But he did it. And everyone's like, no, it's not going to work. No, you're crazy. Blah, 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 blah. But guess what? He figured it the fuck out. And now he's the best in the world. Period. The end. That's it.
So my man's Mark Cuban. Pittsburgh boy. Like, I think about, like, because everyone, you know.
I read his little book. That he had a little short book. Did you ever read his little book? I forget what it's called.
I don't remember.
It's like a short book. He talked about, like, you know, him starting out, like sleeping on the floors and like
nothing.
Great little book if you haven't read it.
Yeah, like
forget the name of it. Forgive me, but just look it up.
Because I'm always so bothered by the defeatist mentality that I wasn't born with a silver spoon. So I had bunk beds till I was 24. You know what I mean? Like, not that right. I came from nothing, but right.
Yeah,
I had bunk beds till I was 24. You know, it's not like I had a silver spoon. I couldn't have gone to college if it wasn't my grades.
You didn't just sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, I had bunk beds till I was 24, so fuck the rest of my life. Like, why would anyone think that?
Right. Like, all my savings is mine. Every dollar of my savings, you know, everything that my parents gave me, that was spent on college or getting through or starting out. It was like, that's all my money I saved. Like, how'd you do it? Time.
Just did it.
You know, I didn't start my business till 30. Yeah, that's when I saved up enough to do it. You know, it mm-hmm. wasn't like I was just sitting around. Like, I didn't have the idea either. It happened to just, like, come together. But it's such a difference of, like, you know, you read these stories, it's like, oh, I can't do it because I don't have XYZ. I always tell myself, and I've found it helpful recently, especially, like, people have done way more with way less than what I'm doing.
100%.
You know, I'm fucking lucky. I had a professor that always used the example. She's like, if you live the life of name any person in history, you know, good or bad, you know, if you lived their life, would you have lived it any different? It's like, probably not. If you had the exact same life and experiences and upbringing, you'd end up in the same awful or great place that they did. You know, and to be sitting around, we were, you know, in a college classroom on a campus, a really nice campus, and it was like, we just got fuck all lucky. We didn't do shit to be there. You know, we weren't working. We were freshmen in college. You know, we didn't do fucking anything to deserve to be there. You know what I mean? Like, we did good on a test, or our parents had enough money to send us. It was, you know, I think about that a lot. I have to do way more to give back and get that next group of whoever it is.
Agreed.
To do it, you know, that's the way we all get there, man.
Yep, 100%. You know? Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad we connected to do this. You know, we didn't know each other at all. Obviously, you know, we know each other a bit more now.
Yeah.
But that's one of the cool things I like about this, man, is I just, you know, whether I reach out to somebody out of the blue or whether somebody reaches out to me out of the blue, and it's like, hey, yeah, we sync up, good fit, do the, you know, we're on the show, whatever. And it's like, you just never know, man. And, you know, you just don't know where things are going to go. Like, just say yes. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously.
And just take a shot. You know what I mean? Like, you reached out, and had you not have reached out, I mean, you know, who knows if we ever would have met.
Right.
Like, it's just, you just don't know. And there's so much more. I'm excited to see, like, where you're going to go with this thing. It's inspiring. It's like fuel for me even to see, like, somebody doing their thing, whatever it is. I don't give a shit what someone's doing. It's like, I get inspired by somebody that's inspired about their thing. So keep it up, man.
Likewise, dude. Yeah. Seriously. I feel the exact same.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, congrats. Congrats on everything you're doing. And I wish you the best of luck. And I want to, you know, whatever I can do to help you along the way. You know, we've got this connection now. And I already told you I have a connection, you know, I'll introduce you to and all that. So you never know, man.
Ditto, dude. That's what I mean. You make your own luck.
Yeah,
we met. You do. You'll call me in
you
6 months.
Like, and you be created like, this. Like, you literally created this here right now. Like,
in 6 months, you might call me, like, hey, I met this person that does this thing, or I need this thing.
Yeah.
And who knows where that's gonna take you and take me? And
right, you just don't know.
You don't know.
It really truly. I know it sounds cheesy and cliche, but it really is a small world. It really is. Yeah. I mean, like, and was it six or seven degrees of separation? What is it? Seven? Is it seven?
I think it's six or seven.
Whatever that is. I don't even know. But it's actually less than that. Whatever it officially.
Whatever it is, yeah,
it has to be. It's less. I mean, it is 100%, 100%. Because it's happened before. The people like that I've met along this journey that I never would have expected that seemed way further away. Like, I'm so much closer to some people in the world that, like, people be like, wait, you're one person removed from him or her? I'm like, yeah.
I had a
like
funny...
that's the craziest part. It's like, people aren't that far out of reach.
It's so funny. I had a funny moment that recently there was a new game beta that came out, and so I was like, oh, how are you playing? I said, well, the pro player got a code, gave it to his agent, who gave it to me from Denmark. And they're like, that's it? I said, that's it.
It usually always ends up being the stupid, like, the dumbest thing. It's like, oh, like, yeah.
That's literally
like, that's how it happened. Like, and usually people are like, I was expecting a big, elaborate, crazy story. It's like, no, it was just that simple.
No, I'm just one step away from a pro player now. Like, yeah, like you said, we're just, like, connected.
Yeah, you just don't realize it.
No.
You just don't realize it. And I think, you know, I think it was Ed Milet, and I forget the name of the book. It might be like The Power of One More or something. Are you familiar with Ed Milet?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, he has a podcast, obviously, book, whatever, but I think it's like The Power of One More. And it's just like you're one thing away is like the theory. Like you're one phone call away from success. Cool. It's one phone call. It's one cold call. It's one gym session. It's one podcast episode. It's one whatever. Just one anything. It's just like one, just the power of one more. It's just like just one more.
I love that.
Like you're always just one step away from a big breakthrough. And if you just keep going and you do one, you know, like think of it at the end of the day today. And you're like, you weren't going to send that text or that email, like on your way out the door. Let's pretend right now that you had somebody that you were supposed to pitch something to and they told them you get to them by the end of the day or something. And you know, you just get back in your car and you're like, fuck it. Bill said just one more, and you just get in your car and you just fire something off. That could be it. That could literally make you.
That's what, hey, when I talk about that Denmark deal, it was like 10:30. I was like, all right, another 20 more, then I'll call it.
Yeah.
Another 20 more cold emails, and that's one of the 20.
Exactly.
You know, you just don't fucking know.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to hit, and that's why you just have to keep trying.
Miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's the most cliche fucking one, but like it's the truth.
It is, 100%, because most people are just too afraid to ask. They're too afraid to try, and I'm not, so that's why I'm just going to keep winning. Like that's it.
It's great.
And you know, so sorry if people think that I'm cocky, but it's just a level of confidence that I've gained from trying and failing and succeeding, but all of the above. It's just a combination of everything. So
I'm fucking stoked for you, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. And like I said, I'm excited to see where you go. I feel like there's probably gonna be a part two to this episode in the future.
That'd be great. I'd welcome that.
Yeah. So Where can people find you online? How can they see what you're doing?
So they can find me on LinkedIn.
I was gonna say. So of course, as you know, the other social media is not really
as much. Yeah, LinkedIn, just Paul Capocci. You can find me. I think it might be like LinkedIn / like PA Capocci, but just look up my name on LinkedIn from the episode description. You can also find me through my website on thebraintrust.dev. So you can find me there. You can contact me through that. You know, the game will probably be up on Steam within the next year. So depending on when this goes up, hopefully shorter than that. So it's going to be a fun ride, you know, and, you know, just as like a parting thought, it's just, you know, it's funny. The power of one, I think of Alex Ormozy, who's been someone I've listened to more and more.
Solid.
He's the man. I don't know his full backstory. So if he's like said something between now and when this is published, that's like horrible.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Then.
But I remember I was listening to one of his talks and the takeaway from it I had was, he's like, you're three conversations away from changing your fucking life. The amount of times that's gone through my head of like, I was stopping, but well, what? No, like stop thinking. Just I'm calling that person. Like you said, get in the car. Just if everyone listening to this, if there's one call, text, whatever that you haven't done today, fire it. Stop planning it.
Like, yeah. Right now. Don't think about it. Just do it.
The two words that you were going to change in that fucking email aren't going to be the difference.
No. Nope.
They never are.
Yeah, stop looking at the email that you wrote for 15 minutes and critiquing it and criticizing it.
Add a typo in there and send it.
They'll fucking send it. Just send it. Just send the damn thing.
You know, the emails I've gotten from the richest people I know are fucking horrible.
Can't spell. Yes.
And they know it. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to have... I can't wait to not care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Just fucking send it. That's the best I can give out. But yeah, Paul Capocci on LinkedIn, thebraintrust.dev.
Awesome. All right. Paul Capocci on the Stacks, the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.